Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood, tips and tricks,
products we love,
and brands that we can't live without. Let's get into it.
So, gee, it's Friday or whatever fucking day it is. Who knows? How are you, mate?
I'm okay. I mean, it's weird because I feel like I've been living this isolation life for, you know, since Gigi was born. Well, you know, not really, but more so than my old life. So, yeah, it's weird. I'm quite enjoying it. But I feel not bad for saying it, but a little bit, because I know that my husband is struggling because he's used to being around lots of people and, you know, having a buzzy, like a bit of a buzzy life. And I sort of got into this slow pace of life, particularly since we moved house in December. So it's quite nice.
I don't think you should feel guilty about that. I think it's really nice. It's a really good thing to be happy and settled where you are with the reality that you're living in. And you're one of those people, G, you know, knowing you the way that I do, you just get on with it. You're not a whinger, you're not a moaner, you're not really a crier. You're just like a solid plank of beautiful wood. Can I say that?
That's so nice. Well, do you know what? If I'm not a whinger or crier, why are my children whingers and criers then?
Because they are nearly 4 and 8 months old.
How's it going, your Enzo?
Yeah, it's yesterday I think I had a bit of a meltdown. We had that really passive aggressive moment between Dozer and I when we went for a walk with the kids, our one walk of the day across the park. And Luna had just been on me, whinging, meh, 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 meh. I'm having a few issues with Luna at the moment. I'll talk about that a bit later on. But she's just been going at me since 6 a.m. and this was like 11. And I just cracked. I was like, just leave me alone. And I just stormed off across an empty park and was just like, I need a moment. I was like, I'll be back in 10 minutes. And I was only gone for about 2.5 minutes. But in that time, I thought I just took some deep breaths and looked up at the sky and just thought it's okay to be feeling the weight of it because you cannot get away.
Absolutely. Do you know what? I was thinking about this the other day. We had probably 2 weeks because I don't even know how long we've been doing this for now. I think we've been doing it for nearly 3 weeks.
We had coming to the end of the second week. You're
and I did one extra week. Yeah. So Axel was, oh, wow, so difficult for, I reckon, 14 days. Just difficult, you know, just whinging, opposite, playing opposites. I don't want to do that. And then you go, okay, cool, we won't go out for a walk then. Oh, no, I do want to go out for a walk. And just the whole day. And we were saying that what we needed to do was give each other a break because, you know, obviously we get that one walk of the day and you want to do it together, don't you? You want to go out and do it together. But actually, maybe we should be doing it separately.
When we were, you know, 10 minutes ago when we weren't recording that, there is no opportunity to just go and have a moment in your own energy, to have a moment in your own peace. Because I love going and taking my laptop to a coffee shop. I'm not even that far away from home. But like, it's just the space to sit and tap out and look at other people and pick up on their energies. And I'm such a people person. I don't necessarily need to be around people all the time, but I like having my own space. And I haven't had any of that. And I think yesterday I was just a bit like,
oh God, like I looking at the bigger picture and people were telling me things and, oh, we're going to be doing this a lot longer. And I was just like, ah, no. So this morning I've woken up and I'm like, it's Friday today. I'm going to start the day off in the right way, you know, and just kind of take it in small size pieces.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it is so important to try and give yourself a break. Like, do you even just take yourself off for a daytime bath? And I don't really enjoy doing that, but I know like a lot of people love having a bath. So like just doing that in the daytime, having like these little luxuries that I guess you can look forward to.
Yeah, I agree with you. And do you know what? It's really, I feel really bad and really guilty sitting here moaning because there are some people, you know, who are dealing and having to work during this crisis, you know, all of our amazing NHS staff, the delivery drivers, you know, the supermarkets, the small guys, you know, as in like the little, the local guy, the local hero. Like we're not having to face any of those issues. But as parents, not having the things that kind of kept us sane parenting, they've kind of gone out of the window. Like the moment where we can get in the car and go meet our mates, or we can go up to the playground and put them on the swings for an hour. Like all of that's gone.
Yeah, our coping strategy is gone. We normally turn to like an hour for me, an hour in the putting Gigi in the creche for an hour and going and doing a class and then chatting to some of the school mums for a coffee after.
Yeah,
is my coping thing.
Yeah,
and now it's gone. I've read so many people saying that day 9 or something was their worst day, and I think I agree. Around day 9 to day 12 or something, I think is the hardest because reality sets in. The week, you know, like the first week of, oh, this is nice. It feels like we're, you know, on holiday at home.
Yeah, I feel you. I hear you. I think anybody listening to this podcast is going to be nodding right now. And that's why we want to keep putting out content, to be fair. We want to keep things as normal as possible to the people that are listening. Now, there's a lot of, you know, even sort of higher stakes of anxiety going around for pregnant women at the moment. There's, again, conflicting advice on what you should do and what you shouldn't be doing. And somebody that I've known for a very long time, she helped me through a very bad breakup. She came and rescued me from a place called Beautiful Hell when I moved out of my ex-boyfriend's. But that's a story for another time. I ended up living with her for 3 months. She's one of my dearest friends. She's also a Sky News anchor. And she's also 28 weeks pregnant. Today, who are we chatting to, G?
Today, we are chatting to Sarah Jane Mee.
So joining us on the podcast today, for me, it's a really, really magical, special day because she's actually one of my best mates, like a proper best mate. But she's also known to the nation as a broadcasting hero, Miss Corningstone. She has her own show on Sky News. She used to wake us up in the morning on Sunrise, and now she kind of looks after us in the afternoon with her own show, The Sarah Jane Mee Show. Well, I've done the introduction. It's SJ Mee. Hello.
Hello, Dan.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. I'm good. You've caught me on a really good day today. It's my final day of quarantine. I've been out for a big, long, hour-long walk this morning, so I am feeling really good.
Not the endorphins. I should have said in my introduction that you're actually 28 weeks pregnant with your first baby. So congratulations.
I am, yes. Thank you.
How has it been in isolation with everything that's going on at the moment?
It's been really strange. I left my team one day, finished my show one afternoon, said, I'll see you in a couple of weeks because I was going off on annual leave. And literally 2 days later, the government guidance came in that pregnant women were now high risk and there was no essential travel. So I didn't end up going on holiday, which is, you know, oh gosh, such a small consideration now. But also I found myself in the vulnerable category with people over the age of 70 and with underlying health conditions. So it's been a really strange couple of weeks trying to get my head around that. My partner Ben had symptoms. So as a couple, we had to isolate for 2 weeks. So I've just had 2 weeks of getting my head around how life changed overnight, as everybody has had to deal with it. But particularly being pregnant as well, it's such a vulnerable and emotional time. So I've been dealing with that for the last 2 weeks. And I think today the sun is shining. I've been out for my first walk. Ben and I have had lots of conversations. I feel like, you know, I'm coming out the other side of it and I feel mentally prepared now.
Yeah, it's a funny time actually to be pregnant, isn't it? Because on one hand, I guess being at home and being forced to rest is a good thing. But on the other side of it, I guess your plan and how you envisaged these last, you know, couple of months to be is completely different and completely been thrown up into the air. So talk us through, like, what is the plan now? Like, you know, for appointments and, you know, giving birth and all of those sorts of things, and how are you adapting?
Yeah, I mean, I'm still figuring that out. Everything's sort of, you take it day by day, but in terms of, you know, midwife appointments, I'm still being advised to go in as normal. I'm emailing them all the time because I've got a number of appointments coming up in a few weeks. So I've been asking, is it essential? Do I have to come in? I'm having a really healthy pregnancy. Is it something we can do over the phone? My antenatal class, my baby and bump class, has been moved to Zoom. So I won't be going to meet a new group of mums, which is really weird, actually, because I know Zoe and I have talked about this before. And Zoe went, Zoe said to me, you'll make this new amazing network of mums. I sort of rolled my eyes. I was like, oh, new friends. but now I really feel like I'm missing out because, like you've said, Zoe, this new network of mums is so vital for just having that community in the months after you've had a baby to meet up for coffee, to WhatsApp each other in the middle of the night going, this is a bit weird, is this happening to you, how much sleep are you getting, comparing notes. I feel like I'm missing out on that. I know video conferencing and Zoom is keeping us all connected, but it's fine doing that with your friends and family because you know them inside out and it's great to keep in touch with them. But, you know, meeting strangers virtually, I feel like I'm going to miss out on that bond and that sort of community. So that's going to be different. We start that in a couple of weeks. We'll see how that goes. And another thing that's changed is I've started hypnobirthing early because I was meant to do those face-to-face with this wonderful woman called Catherine Graves. She heads up KG Hypnobirthing and she basically invented the concept. And we were going to meet face-to-face at my house, but now we've been doing it online. And I found that really, really useful in the 2 weeks that we've been safe at home, just sort of relaxing my mind, getting into the right mindset, breathing techniques, which I know is meant to prepare me for birth, but it's actually it's really useful to keep my mind from getting too busy when, you know, you're at home and all of this stuff is going on that's beyond your control. I found hypnobirthing, again, I was really skeptical about it, but I found it really, really useful.
My heart actually goes out to anybody that's listening to this podcast that's pregnant or that is a new mum, because for me, I take myself back to that period, and I'm sure Georgia agrees with me. There was so many plans that I needed to kind of keep me going, you know, like you said, going to my bump and baby classes, you know, meeting friends who were also pregnant in coffee shops, going for walks around the park. Everybody always says it on repeat, don't they? Spend as much time as you can out and about, because when you have the baby, you're going to be at home, it's going to be very different. And all of that for you and for anybody else who's pregnant has been thrown out of the window, the opposite of that, kept inside.
Yeah, I mean, particularly me being in entering the third trimester, I saw this as the business end of things, because before, I think the only baby related thing I'd allowed myself to do was go to the baby show at London Excel with my mom and have a walk round and look at prams and look at cribs and pick up cute baby clothes. But even then I was really restrained. Like, grandma really wanted to buy something for the baby. So she had a bit of a shop up. But I was really restrained because I was like, oh, it still feels too early. I feel like I should do that a bit later. It's that silly superstition that every new mum has. And I just imagined these few months being the busy end, the sort of baby shower sort of time. And again, I was sort of umming and ahhing about whether I should have one. And now I just think, oh, I really would like one. You know, so again, it's browsing the shops for baby clothes, doing all those things and just nesting. And I feel like that's just completely disappeared. And particularly because I can't see my mum now. The baby started kicking while we were self-isolating. And it hadn't been very active in that way until we were on lockdown. I think it's because I was so active, I obviously swayed it to sleep every day. But it's become a real little kung fu rascal. And while that's very comforting while you're in self-isolation, they're the bits I really want to share with my mum. Yeah. So as soon as I told my mum, she went, I really want to feel the baby kick. And you just think, oh, wow, I cannot pop down the road to see my mum and sit there and have a cup of tea and her touch my tummy and us talk about all of that. I mean, yes, again, we can do FaceTime. We're so lucky. But it's just those little things that you take for granted, you think you've got time to do, that have suddenly just disappeared. So, yeah. Like I said, it's a really different third trimester to what I imagined. And I actually feel pretty underprepared. Like I said, I've got no cot, I've got no pram. Am I going to have time to get that before June?
This might be a bit naive, but like, can you still get the cot delivered and stuff? Because I know that we ordered a bed and we can't get that delivered at the moment. But are they still delivering nursery furniture and baby stuff?
Yeah, I've been in touch with them. Luckily, I went to the baby show to have a look, and we came across this brand called Gaia, and it was such cute nursery furniture. And again, grandma was like, I'm going to treat you to this. This is what the grandparents are going to buy the baby. And I've been in touch with them this week, and it seems I can order it, but the lead time is slightly longer. So I've been told mid-June, which works out about right for us. But again, it's day by day. You don't know what the restrictions are going to be on deliveries in terms of if things have to come from abroad. You don't know whether factories will be shut down in the future. At the moment, it's business as usual, but I get the sense that I sort of want to get things ordered and in the pipeline in the next couple of weeks, just to make sure I get everything.
I completely understand where you're coming from, but I'll also just interject and go back in the day, all you needed was a bottle and a chest for the baby. I mean, I shouldn't be saying this, but like all of those things.
A cardboard box, shove them in the drawer.
I know, I was going to say, don't you just open the drawer next to the bed and put them in there with a nice blanket?
Exactly.
Not quite as fancy. Doesn't look as good on Instagram. But.
let's talk about your mental health, SJ. How have you been kind of day to day? Has it been quite up and down, or have you been quite stable?
Well, Ben and I joked before we went into self-isolation that actually, you know, my hormones have been pretty good. I felt like, you know, what does everyone go on about? You know, pregnant women are more hormonal, more prone to tears. I was in a great mood. And then a few days into self-isolation, Ben kept a tally and he went, okay, we've hit 10 now. That's 10 times you burst into tears. And again, just over really silly things, like it might have been something on the telly, it might have been coming off the phone to my mum, but I was just having a really, and I couldn't work out whether it was my hormones or whether it was the fact I was indoors all day. I couldn't quite work it out. But in the main, I'm definitely a glass half full kind of girl, and I'm always really positive. And I think it has been a real test the last couple of weeks. It's been a real test for Ben and I in terms of, you know, it's a big, but it's still essentially a 2-bedroom flat with no outside space. And Ben's humour's kept me going. We've had a really good laugh. And I keep hearing for pregnant women, oxytocin is so important, which is the happy hormone and the love hormone. And that comes through, you know, laughter, relaxation, you know, closeness with your partner.
Sexy time.
Yeah, sexy time. So, you know, in isolation, we've got on really well. And he's been an absolute rock for me because, you know, my mind has wandered in terms of, you know, I've got an unborn baby to think about, and who knows what's going to happen by the time we get to June. I hope that, you know, COVID-19 is winding down, or at least we're in a better place by the time I end up having to go into hospital. You know, I've got my parents to think about who are over 70 and social distancing. We've got our steps on. So there's lots of stuff going through my mind.
Yeah.
And I just think I'm trying to stay positive. And again, that's where I think the hypnobirthing has really helped. I've never been one for meditation or mindfulness. I'm quite good at switching off, you know, when I have to, but that's just all really helped.
Knowing you the way that I do, if I ever come to you with a problem, or any of us kind of look to SJ first for some help, Georgia, she's the one that's like, she's almost a bit of a man. She's quite a solutionist.
Yeah.
You're the real stable kind of ship within the kind of fleet that we've got going on.
And yeah.
Like, this is what you need to do. This is how you're going to get there. And this is how we make it better. So, you know, I can imagine at a time like this with your hormones, like you said, flying all over the place and having to sort of, it's been quite tricky, yeah. But you know, you're sounding like you're having a good day today, which is great.
Yeah. Like you said, I'm very practical because I believe in controlling the controllables. Like the stuff that's out of your control, you can do nothing about. Just focus on what you can control. But it's just a really weird time at the moment. You know, loads of us feel out of control. So even I've had wobbles. So like I said, you know, exploring meditation for the first time, you know, playing an MP3 that Catherine sent me for 10 minutes before I go to bed, and we go on a magic carpet ride, which I would have laughed at now. see. We go on a magic carpet ride to meet my baby, and it's amazing.
When I was pregnant, I didn't, first time with Axel, I downloaded like the hypnobirthing tracks, and I didn't really like pay any attention to them, apart from sometimes I'd be driving in the car and then one would come on and then I'd almost go into a trance and then suddenly have to, like, wake myself up that I was actually driving.
Or maybe I won't do it in the car then.
We always joke about this with Georgia, but she basically was completely silent through her birth. She said that she never did any of this hypnobirthing stuff or any kind of meditation, but apparently every time she had a surge or a contraction, she just put her hand up and go.
I must admit, Catherine showed me a birth video. It was all very complicated because we were on FaceTime, so she had to turn her camera around to the TV and get it in shot. And I did say to her halfway through, have you got the sound on? Because the woman giving birth in this birth pool was so quiet.
It was me.
It must have been you. I mean, she was very discreet. She didn't show the lady's face. But it may well have been you. It was so quiet in there. And then even when the baby came out of the birth pool and was put on the mother's chest, the baby was quiet. It didn't cry. And I said, that's weird. Yeah. And Catherine said, no, that is a calm birth. And you think of birth, you know, you're grunting and screaming and people are saying push and the baby's crying as soon as it comes out. And do you know what? It really calmed my mind in terms of, I just thought, oh, wow, I didn't even realize that was an option.
Yeah.
To have something so quiet. So, Georgie, you're an inspiration.
What sort of birth are you thinking about? Have you got a plan on where you want to deliver baby or try to deliver?
Well, Ben and I hadn't quite got round to doing a birth plan. Again, this was all for the coming week. We've still got a bit of time. But I'm very lucky. I'm in central London and we're booked into St. Thomas's. So I just imagined popping along to St. Thomas's, to the birthing unit there, and having a baby in hospital. But given everything that's going on at the moment with coronavirus, I'm now actually thinking about a home birth, which never even entered my head.
Wow.
But speaking to my midwife and again to Catherine, my hypnobirthing teacher, she just said, you know, the percentage of home births are so small. But, you know, if you're having a perfectly healthy pregnancy, there's no reason why you can't.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're more likely to get an infection in hospital than you are at home. And she said, if you do some research into it, it might put your mind at ease. Because I just thought, oh, a home birth, what if something goes wrong? I'll have to go to the hospital anyway. Why am I thinking that something's going to go wrong? So actually, a home birth could be an option for me now.
Yeah, and if you like, you know, the calmness, then being where else is more calm than your own, you know, your own home? And I guess as well,
yeah,
then
exactly.
You get a midwife at your house just for you, not for anyone else, just with you and dedicated to you. So I guess, yeah, I mean.
Well, I'll throw a curveball in there. We're meant to move house in 2 weeks.
I know.
Just to throw another ball in the air to juggle. I mean, I don't think that's going to happen. And who knows when we'll be able to move house. I mean, Ben and I were talking about the home birth and he said, oh, there's a room in that house where we can set it up as this amazing birthing suite, dim lights, get the pool in there, get your music on. And I'm thinking, yep, that all relies on us actually being in that house. Again, it's day by day, isn't it? Which makes it so hard to plan at the moment.
If you want to hear a very happy and successful home birth story, you've got to listen to our podcast when we interviewed, where we chatted to Nadia Zawala, because she did both, I think both of her.
Both of them.
And she's like, she tells this incredible story of how, I think she had a doula who was saying to her that she had to think that her vagina was like butter. And she was going, my vagina is like butter. It was brilliant, wasn't it? It's a really good chat to listen to if you want some comfort about home birth.
Yeah.
She had the most incredible experience.
I love Nadia. In fact, there's a video on YouTube of her I want to watch because I didn't realize she homeschools her children. She's been homeschooling them for the last 2 years. And we've got my stepson, Teddy, next week for the first time. And I'm just desperate for homeschooling tips because obviously Ben and I are both working from home. And then we're going to throw a six-year-old into the mix. So we're going to experience what many families up and down the country are doing, which is living, working and homeschooling together 24/7.
We'll be right back after the short break.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Now, let's pick up where we left off with our wonderful guest.
Can we talk about the fact that you're a step-parent now? Because obviously you've got Ted, yeah, who is six, or nearly six, I think. How is that role for you? And kind of what have been the learnings that have come out of the last couple of years of kind of being in charge of him when he's with you?
Yeah, it's amazing. It's really weird. Until I met Ben, children weren't really on my radar in terms of, you know, being a step-parent or having children of my own. It's not something I'd really given that much thought to. I always thought if I had children of my own, it would only be with the right person. I hadn't met that person. And then Ben came along and turned everything upside down, because not only then did I start thinking about having children of my own, but he came with a delightful little plus one, Teddy, who is now six. And he's just amazing. He's such a bright, funny, loving, caring little boy. And, you know, Ben always says, you know, it was love at first sight when we met, but it was also love at first sight when I met Teddy. You know, he opened the door to Ben's flat with a bunch of flowers and he had me from there. And then when we said goodbye that day, when his mum picked him up, he said, you know, I love you more than Lego. He's just such a sweet boy. And that's just so been, lovely. Oh, don't, you'll make me cry and I'm having a good day today, girls. Don't make me chalk up the first one on the board. No, it's just been a delightful surprise, something that I never imagined having in my life. But Ben and Teddy's mom have done such an amazing job with him. And yeah, he's just such a bonus to have in my life. I'm so lucky.
And is he excited to be a big brother?
Yes, he is. I've got one of those weird pregnancy apps where every week it tells you how big the baby is and what it looks like, and we check it every Saturday, and he just loves it. He's like, what size is the baby today? At the moment, going into my 28th week, it's the size of a bunch of bananas, which just made him curl up laughing when we FaceTimed him and told him. Yeah, he's really excited. He's convinced he's having a baby brother, although we keep saying or sister, because we're not finding out whether it's a boy or a girl. And he says, yeah, and I'll love it anyway. So we're training him just in case a little sister pops out. But yeah, he's super excited, and he's such a tactile little boy. He's full of hugs and kisses, and he loves sort of, the first thing he does is when he sees me, he runs in and hugs me, and then he goes hug for the baby and hugs the bump and rubs my bump. So he's really excited, really excited.
Now, obviously you and I have got, you know, none of us ever get it exactly right, but we do have kind of great setups with our stepkids. And, you know, we've come in at the right age, or for whatever the reason, we don't have the magic kind of ingredient to get that step-parent, step-child relationship right. But it is working for us now. But there might be people that are listening to this that are thinking, I don't know what I'm doing wrong, and I can't seem to bond with this child, and I'm not sure, you know, what my role is, and I feel left out when I have to give, you know, my stepchild back to the parent. Like, lots of things go through your head when you're a step parent. So
yeah,
what advice can you give a step parent that's listening?
You know, Teddy is a lucky boy. He's got a mum and dad who love him very much. I mean, everything that Ted's mum and Ben do is all about him. He's the most important thing. And I think that is a really good starting point in terms of, I don't need to try and be Teddy's mum. I'm something completely different. You know, I want to create a special bond that, you know, I'm his SJ and he comes to talk to me and we're part of a family. But I would say don't try to be his mum. I'm not his mum. He's got a mum and he loves her so much. So it's just about finding your own little relationship. You know, it just comes naturally. I've tried not to try too hard. Ben says I'm a soft touch with him because obviously it's really difficult when he is my child. You know, we don't use the term stepson, you know, as a family and in a wider circle of friends. I do just for clarity, because when people go, have you got children of your, you know, it becomes very complicated. So, you know, I use that term to explain it to people, but it's about finding your own bond. And I just have trouble disciplining him at the moment. Ben says I'm too soft on him. But I'm sure I will be like that with our new addition as well. You know, there's always a good cop, bad cop. I'm sure I'll be a pile of mush like I'm with Ted. But it's just us finding our own way. And, you know, we're great mates. We get on, we laugh. But just don't try too hard. Find your own special relationship. And, you know, he doesn't call, like I said, he doesn't call me mum. I call him my son, but he doesn't call me mum. He's got a mum and she's amazing. You know, he's got his SJ and we don't need to start putting labels on it.
Do you know what? It's a really funny and it's a really beautiful relationship, but it definitely comes with its ups and downs, personally speaking. And I feel like myself and Isla, we're such great mates and we're so close. And like you said, we have our very own unique kind of special bond. And the majority of the time it works. And then it's funny because stuff comes up. Like I had to drop her home back to her mum's yesterday. And I've obviously been taking care of her for a week. She comes to us for a week on, a week off. And we're sharing all these intimate moments. And then like, and it makes me feel emotional because I'm giving, okay, I didn't give birth to her, but I'm giving my child back. But she's not my child, but she is my child.
Yeah.
And I love her like a daughter, but she's not my daughter. And she runs to her mum. And it's hard for me driving off. Like I burst into tears yesterday when I left her because it's a funny one, isn't it? Lots of stuff comes up.
Yeah, it is really hard. And I know Ben finds it really hard because of the way things have fallen. Obviously, our 2-week self-isolation, we haven't seen him for 3 weeks now. And I miss Ted terribly. But Ben misses him on another level. Do you see what I mean? It's not that I love Ted any less, but it is a different bond. And it's quite hard. I mean, Isla and Ted are similar ages. And I think when they're 6 or 7, their world is what's in their immediate proximity. As long as they're loved, looked after, and, you know, with people that care about them, that's their immediate world. They don't think about what's happening in a week's time or what happened yesterday. You know, you ask them what they have for lunch, they can't remember. So it's quite hard when we drop Ted off. He's like, bye, shuts the door, and in he goes. And you're like, oh, we just had this amazing weekend together. And as soon as he goes into his mum's house, it's like he forgets about us. And sometimes that's a little bit hard. And, you know, maybe his mum feels the same way when he comes here. It's quite weird. But kids, if they're in a safe, loving environment, they feel supported and they don't miss the other safe, loving environment. I mean, we FaceTime and he'll ask to call his dad and me and we have a chat on the phone. But it's just trying to get your head into that space, because I think kids at that age are just preoccupied with the fun and the love that they've got in front of them at the time. So it's quite hard putting yourself into that child's headspace. They haven't really got that much empathy for adults who are going, we really miss you. They're like, oh, we miss you too. But anyway, can I just show you what I've done on Minecraft? it's just trying to equate that, really.
I was just going to say, I think kids are actually so adaptable in this whole situation. I've just noticed, like, I keep saying to Axel, oh, are you missing school? Are you missing your friends? And he sort of looks at me blankly, like, what do you mean? What do you mean?
Exactly.
Like, no, not at all.
Their preoccupation is the next 5 minutes, the next hour. Like, Ted, when he's here, will always go, what are we doing this afternoon? Or what are we doing next? It's just, you know, they want to know what the next immediate thing is. They're not thinking longer term. Although, you know, when we've been speaking to him on FaceTime and we said to him, you're coming to us this Saturday for a week, he jumped up. He was like, yeah, I can't wait. I'm going to give you such a big hug. And then he hugged the phone. And, you know, we know he's excited to see us and come and be with us. But, you know, he's safe and he's happy with his mum and his nana. And we just have to remember that we're missing him like crazy. And sometimes you don't get that level of, I miss you back from him, but that's because he's okay. In his world, it's fine. You know, he hasn't got a clue about the bigger picture. And I'm quite glad about that.
I was going to ask you about work and how you're feeling about, you sort of touched on it a little bit about the fact that you've been kind of forced to go on to maternity leave early. And I guess a lot of women will be kind of going through this, because if you're not being forced onto maternity leave, you're being forced to work at home. How is that set up for you, and how are you kind of adapting to your new life, your new work life?
No, well, like I said, I thought I was going on 2 weeks holiday and I'd be back. But little did I know I wouldn't be returning to that studio for, you know, what could be a year. I mean, even saying that feels a bit bizarre, because obviously I'll go on maternity leave in June. But as soon as the Prime Minister announced that pregnant women were in the vulnerable category, one of the first people to ring me was my boss, which was great. And they were really supportive and just said, look, you know, we have to look after you. So the best thing is that you don't come into work, which is devastating, because, you know, before Ben and Ted and this baby came along, work was my life and I loved it and I still love it. You know, I go into work every day. I never know what's going to happen. It's a 24-hour news channel. I certainly didn't know that coronavirus was going to happen. And even, you know, as I reported on it unfolding, you get the sense that it's going to be big, but it's not until it impacts you personally you realize just how big. But work had been good. They said, obviously, you can't come in. We need to keep you safe. You need to stay home, and we'll get you working from home. So I've been writing articles for online. I've done some broadcasts from my front room on Ben's iPad. But yesterday they sent me some kits. Two men arrived with masks on and gloves and cameras, and they literally stood outside my front door, cleaned it to within an inch of its life so it could come into the flat. So I now have two rather imposing looking tripods with cameras on and auto cues and computers that I have to remember how to set up and operate, which is going to be hilarious the first time I use them to go on air. I normally just swan in with a coffee, having just had my makeup done, reading my notes and stand in front of a camera. And normally I've got two cameramen, a sound engineer, a floor manager, you know, all of these people operating this equipment. And now I'm going to have to do it myself later on this week, which will be interesting. So that'll be good. I can broadcast from home. And, you know, Sky News have said, look, you are in a situation that so many people up and down the country are in. You are having to stay home to keep yourself safe and other people safe. So let's reflect that. You know, so many people are working from home. You're working from home. You can broadcast from your kitchen or your living room, which means I'm now also frantically tidying and cleaning like I've never done before. I've never been to Houseproud. So it's that. And that's going to be interesting. Obviously, broadcasting from home, Ben's got his office set up upstairs. And then when Ted arrives next week, we're going to be homeschooling him. So we're literally going to have to come up with a strict timetable so that Ben doesn't, Ben doesn't take a loud conference call. Ted doesn't come in and interrupt me and ask me how to do his timetables.
That would be amazing if we saw that. I would love that.
To be fair, I think it would reflect real life. So, you know, I'd roll with it. If it happens, it happens. That's what's happening in homes down the country. So work have been good in terms of, I just need it. I need it because I love my job. And also, I just mentally, I need it in this run up to June, because, you know, I've got a long way to go until this baby arrives. To be at home, not able to work. I'm fortunate enough that I can. There are so many people that, well, gosh, have lost their jobs or can't work from home. So I know how lucky I am. But it's going to be a real comfort to me over the next few weeks.
What have you been doing exercise-wise? Because obviously we've got so much with Instagram. We've got HIIT classes coming out of our ears. We've got yoga sessions, latte. I mean, I literally spend my life just doing star jumps in my sitting room with Dozer. It's quite funny.
If it's not fitness on Instagram, it's hair and makeup tutorials. I mean, I've never looked so wonderful or been so fit. But in all honesty, I am, well, because we were self-isolating for 2 weeks because Ben had symptoms and I felt a little bit under the weather. I lost my sense of taste and smell. I've just taken it easy for the last 14 days. But we've got an exercise bike upstairs, which as we speak, you might hear some huffing and puffing in the background. Ben is using. So we've got an exercise bike here. My personal trainer, I train at London Bridge at the fitting rooms, Yaz. She's trained in pregnancy training. So I've been training with her, well, since before I was pregnant, all through my pregnancy up until 3 weeks ago. So I've had a really active pregnancy, so I'm really keen to keep that up. So I'll be training with her online. using the Peloton gently. I mean, I won't be keeping up with the class. I'll be at the back of the class at the bottom of the leaderboard, but just, you know, keeping active that way. And then now we're allowed out for a walk. I mean, I did over 7,000 steps in an hour today, so I was quite pleased with that.
Oh, brilliant. Well, it sounds like you're doing loads. Gee, how's your home workout going?
My home workout. I mean, I spoke about our yoga sessions yesterday, which are not going so well. My husband is not relaxing and he is the annoying person in a class. But other than that, yeah, they're all right. I've been doing loads of stuff. I've been doing live Blaze workouts on the David Lloyd app. We've got a bike and we've got some like boxing stuff and we've got some kettlebells, so we've been doing bits in the garden, skipping. Do you know what though, I am a bit worried for how long I'm going to be motivated for. It's already tailing.
Yeah, that's
now.
The thing, isn't it? Yeah. People are either going to emerge from quarantine a lot bigger, because I tell you what, my penchant for going to the biscuit cupboard is off the charts at the moment, or they're going to emerge like butterflies from the cocoon with these amazing six packs and, you know, muscly arms. I mean, personally, I'm going to do that just because the next time people see me full length, I'll probably have the baby. So, you know, I'm going through my own body transformation in this time anyway. People won't see me in a really big third trimester stage. So I'm quite glad about that. It's like, oh, I don't have to worry about the camera adding 10 pounds as well as my baby sort of weighing 10 pounds. So I suppose that's one plus point.
I'm really pissed off about the fact that I didn't get my hair highlighted before we went into lockdown. All these smug, smug women are like, oh, I've had my roots done. I'm like, shit, I'm plucking grey hairs out like there's no tomorrow. And then people are like, don't pluck your grey hairs out. Like, I have to. My husband doesn't know I'm this grey. Like yesterday he caught me bleaching my moustache and I had like white cream on my lips. He was like, huh! And I was like, yeah, no, that's the home bleaching kit actually. I mean, let's not even go there on everything else that's going on with my body. But Jesus Christ, it needs a lot of uptake.
I was really lucky actually, because I thought I was going on holiday. So I'd had my eyebrows done and my eyelashes.
Yes.
The last thing I had to do was my pedicure. And I was going to leave that to the day before so it lasted. But obviously, we weren't allowed to leave the house. So my feet are like hobbit feet. Poor Ben, every time he looks at them, he's like, oh my God, I can't wait for these restrictions to be lifted just so you can get your feet done. There's a lot of slipper wearing and sock wearing around the house.
Luna looked at Dawson's feet last night and went, Daddy, why you got a beard on your feet? I was like, oh no, those are just feet.
Well, the men are going to have it bad as well, because the men can't go to the barbers and obviously they need their hair cut more than we do. So Ben's barnet is going to get bigger and bigger and bigger over the next few weeks, and I can't wait to give him a man bun. Although he reckons that won't go down well on conference calls.
My husband's beard is going to be absolutely disgusting. It's probably going to have animals living in it by the end of this.
Yeah, he's going like full Castaway Tom Hanks, isn't he, James?
Is he?
He won't touch it himself either, so it really is going to be awful.
You need to tell your other half that if he grows too much of a beard, by the time he comes out of, you know, this whole period, people will still find themselves social distancing from him.
Listen, I've been practicing social distancing from him for years. I'm a pro at it.
Georgia and I live two totally different lives, SJ. I'm like having to give my husband sex pretty much daily at the moment. Georgia's like, come fucking near me and I'll chop it off.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? Coronavirus babies are going to be a thing. So many couples spending time in the house together. You know, you need to be careful. There are going to be a lot of coronavirus babies in around 9 months' time.
Yeah, there will. You're right.
That was my public service announcement.
Dozard says that things get fruity on the even days and on the odd days that he'll give me a rest. I'm like, oh, fucking hell, Doz. Just leave me alone.
Sounds like hell. I'm joking. We've covered everything. Just really excited for you.
I am really excited. I mean, given everything that's going on, it is such a strange time. But, you know, I'm lucky. I'm with the man I love, my son who I love, and we've got another one on the way. You know, what more could you want? Actually, a friend of mine, Julie, said to me, when you have a baby, your whole world gets smaller in terms of, you know, that's your little unit. And I feel like our whole world has got smaller for families already. And I just think we should make the most of that, because you know, you're never going to spend this much time with your nearest and dearest under one roof again, probably. So it's just make the most of that. And yeah, so I'm really excited. We're in our own little bubble a little bit earlier than expected, but it's a real love bubble.
Oh, mate, well, that's a really lovely way of looking at it. And as I said on the podcast with Zoe Williams this week, I said at the end of the day, as soon as you have the baby, you're in self-isolation anyway. And if you make it out of the house for a walk, it's like you've won the gold medal at the Olympics. So, you know, take that out of the equation and we're doing it already.
Yeah, it's like we're in the boot camp version of preparing for a baby.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's been so lovely to chat to you. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. We love you and speak to you very soon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi guys, this is SJ. I popped off before giving you my top three must-haves during my pregnancy. The first was my first gift as a mum-to-be, and it was from my mum, dad and my sister, and it's the BB Hug Me pillow. It's basically a big sausage and you hug it at night, and it's really helped with hip pain and just keeping my stomach comfortable at night. But the only problem is often I wake up halfway through the night and my partner Ben is hugging it. So it really is something that's much in demand in our household, but I have it at night with me whenever I can. Also, a company called Boob Design, a very cheeky name for a very brilliant brand. They're doing a lot of great maternity wear, really comfortable. They've got this amazing kimono jumpsuit that I live in. I've got it in khaki and in black. And also their nursing bras and maternity bras are so comfortable. It's all organic cotton. And I'm just basically living in a lot of their clothes at the moment. And then finally, I come back to the hypnobirthing. Like I said, at the moment, mental health is so important, not just with what's going on, but in the build up to birth. So Catherine Graves at KG Hypnobirthing, they do digital online courses and I thoroughly recommend it. I was so skeptical, like I said, before all of this, but it really has kept me focused, centered and really positive.
Isn't she just one of the most lovely human beings you've ever spoken to? She's gorgeous, isn't she?
She really is. I've heard so much about her from you, and she was everything that I expected her to be. And more.
Yeah, do you know what? The good thing about SJ is that, you know, she presents one of the biggest shows in news on the telly, but she is like raucously fun as well, like massive let her hair down girl. But then you can also come to her and ask her about the state of the economy in America, and she just knows all the answers about everything. She's basically Trivial Pursuit in a ginger person.
If you need someone for a quiz night or some kind of competition like that, then yeah, she's your girl.
You can go to SJ. So listen, we decided this week that Georgia and I would discuss our favourite fitness apps, because basically that's all we're doing outside of looking after the kids and being pissed off by our husbands is doing home workouts at the moment. And I posted a little video on our Instagram today about the stuff that I've been doing at home. So the first app that we are loving is Body by Simone. So Simone de la Rue is basically a celebrity trainer and fitness expert, and she has just launched her brand new kind of workout series with Millie McIntosh. So this would be prenatal fitness. So if you are a pregnant lady at the moment and you're looking for something to do at home, definitely, definitely check it out. Obviously, we love Millie. She's great. And she's heavily pregnant at the moment. So yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, it looks brilliant. So another app, which we've both tried out actually, is the Genesis fitness app. So it's from Jessica Ennis, who we had on the podcast. Was it a couple of seasons ago, or was it about a year ago, something like that?
Yeah.
And so she's got some pre and postnatal workouts on there, but then also just, you know, your usual HIIT workouts, circuits. I love it because it just gives me loads of ideas of things to do. So sometimes I take parts from different workouts and just get some inspiration from her. So I love that one.
Yeah, and we love Jessica as well. She's a bit of a hero on the podcast. The next one is, which we talk about a lot, Barry's Bootcamp.
Yes.
Obviously all of the studios are closed. I think they're doing 4 lives a day, and all of the trainers from all over the UK are taking classes from their living rooms. So you literally don't need any equipment at all. They're modifying everything. Like I saw Sandy do one yesterday, who's one of the trainers, and he was just using coffee table books to do tricep curls. Like, I mean, things like that is genius, because that's, you know, loads of us don't have home equipment. So yeah, definitely check out Barry's Live.
Also, don't you just love seeing what everyone's living rooms are like?
I know, it's like the creepiest version of through the keyhole.
Another app that me and my husband are loving, or maybe not so much my husband, more me, is the Fit TV app. So there's a 14-day free trial, and then I think after that it's about £20 a month. But there's so much on there, so you can follow programs. So we're using it for more of like a stretchy yoga type workout in the evenings. It's just 25 minutes, and we're following Fern Cotton and I think her trainer called Richie. I don't know what his surname is, but it's 25 minutes and it's just like stretching, realigning, all that kind of stuff, which I never, ever, ever have time to do, but it is making me feel really good. So I really love that one.
So the last one is basically something that I just stumbled across on Instagram when I was having a little flick through. They are called Mr. and Mrs. Muscle. They've got 1 million followers on Instagram. 1,500 different exercises, 700 workouts specifically at home. So these are all home workouts. Like I watched her do one the other day. She was just using a chair. It was like a kitchen chair. I mean, it's obviously filmed in like a really swazzy way, but these are all things that you can do really, really easy. It's giving me some really good inspiration on how to mix up the home workout.
I feel like this is going to be you and Dozer on the other side of this. You're going to be Mr. and Mrs. Muscle.
No, the thing is that we would like to be, but then at the end of the day, we eat all the crisps. Like last night, I was like, I'm going to have a really healthy salmon fillet. And I ended up eating a whole packet, a massive packet of those like chili and lime poppadom things with a whole thing of hummus. And then I had some cereal. Things are not going well on my end. They're not.
I've been baking.
I baked banana bread. What has happened to me? Seriously, this is why this lockdown has got to end at some point, because I have turned into a baker. That's it for this week.
Yeah, so that is it for this week. We're 2 episodes a week now, so thank you so much for listening, everybody. And as always, please, please, please rate, review and subscribe. You haven't got the excuse that you haven't got time now, because you have got time to do it.
And of course, if you do want to send us a little message, we are at Made by Mamas on Instagram, or you can send me one on my personal account, which is at Zoe Hardman. We are going to be back next week for more chat. We've got our guests lined up for next week and they are really, really, really good. Can't wait to tell you who we've got on. Have a fantastic weekend. Keep safe and we'll chat to you soon.
See you next week.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. We know times are very difficult right now, and if you want any more information about coronavirus, go to nhs.uk/coronavirus.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.